Commissioner Concert, absent for the record. Commissioner Enriquez, absent for the record. Commissioner Gregorio?
Present.
Commissioner Padilla?
Present.
Commissioner Zaram?
Here.
And Chair Calvo?
Here. All right, first order of business is item 3.1. And this is introduction, and he's going to introduce himself. Welcome aboard.
All right.
Welcome back.
Yes. My name's Frank Carson. I am the newly appointed Director of Parks and Recreation. I worked actually for City of Chula Vista from 2003 to 2013, and this is one of the facilities I supervised. I have a variety of background in parks and recreation. I worked at a residential day camp or residential overnight camp in Pennsylvania, recruited out of San Diego during my college years. I worked for the City of San Diego as a pool manager, City of Chula Vista as a recreation supervisor, and I worked for City of El Cajon as a recreation manager and then as the director of Parks and Recreation there. I have a bachelor's degree in history, a teaching credential, and a master's degree in recreation and tourism management. Most recently, I spent 14 years on various boards with the California Park and Recreation Society. I finished a state board presidential term a year ago. I also have sat on various boards with the National Recreation and Park Association. Lastly, as the co-chair of the Park Access meaning having the goal of having a 10-minute walk within any household to a park, but also making sure that all communities with equitable access to parks. So that's definitely a national push towards equitable access to parks. I have also El Cajon, my previous agency, we are currently the only agency to be accredited through the National Park Recreation Park Association in the state of California, and the only agency also to be accredited in the state of California with the American Camp Association. That drive, I hope to try to see what we can do here and elevate Chula Vista to also be nationally recognized in that manner.
Thank you, welcome aboard, or rather welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we go on to the presentation of the regional parks, I just wanted to recognize the staff. It's being the Parks and Recs day, Saturday and month. I know that City Council had a recognition on Tuesday. Fortunately, the rest of you weren't there. Usually, historically, staff has always been present to be recognized. I don't know why you weren't there, but personally, I want to recognize all the staff and people that work and volunteer for Parks and Rec. I know that the job that you do is a great job, and personally, as chairman of the commission, I appreciate that, and not just that, but as a citizen of Chula Vista that has grandkids that play in the parks, I appreciate all the wonderful parks and the great job that you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, item 3.2, County of San Diego Otay Valley Regional Park Project. There is a presentation. You have the floor.
After that, you get public comment.
Oh.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me here. On behalf of the County of San Diego's Parks and Rec Department, my name is Camille Wilder. I'm one of the park project managers for the Otay Valley Regional Park Project. I'm also here with my colleague Annette Stahl, the senior park manager. Thanks again for having us today. I wanted to inform everyone here and share some really exciting development happening in the Otay Valley Regional Park System. For shortness, I'll refer to it as OVRP. So two of the park projects that we have are the Active Recreation Area 3 and the Heritage Staging Area and Trails Project. We built an engagement HQ. It's one of the San Diego's platforms to kind of online interactively get engagement from the public and, you know, members like yourself here. So we've got a hub that we built where you can access each project page pretty easily. And so I've put a link here. And I can also email the PDF out if that's appropriate as well for additional project information. But if you could go to the next slide, please. So as many of you know, OVRP is a multi-jurisdictional effort between the county and the cities of San Diego and Chula Vista. The long-term vision for the park is to connect multiple recreational spaces and trails all the way from the San Diego salt ponds the 11 miles east to the upper and lower Otay reservoirs. So from playing fields and picnic areas to hiking, biking, and horse trails, the park can provide provide visitors with a variety of recreational opportunities. The development will be balanced with efforts to protect, preserve, and protect and preserve local wildlife and cultural resources. It sits a whole regional park sits about 11 miles north of the international border. And as I mentioned, it spans 11 miles east from the Salt Bay Mountains. Next slide, please. So moving to the first of the two projects I'm presenting today is the Active Recreation Area 3. It covers about 45 miles between Interstate 5 and Interstate 805, from Polished Street to Fire Boulevard. It's south of the Otay River and north of Palm Avenue, surrounded by hills to the south and southeast. The site includes undeveloped areas, a tree nursery, and is neighbored by low-density neighborhoods, low-density residential zones to the south and industrial plant to the north. So the graphic you're seeing here is the current site analysis, so it's really the existing environmental and infrastructure on the site as it sits today. So the future park will most likely be accessed from Palm Avenue. You can see the little red arrow leading you north into the park, which is near the Palm Avenue trolley station, and it'll connect trails and into the Bayshore Bikeway, Benton Pond. Currently, the site experiences seasonal flooding, requiring flood-resistant improvements. The site includes designated biological zones, gaining additional permitting for development. Site's significant slopes are pleasant, guiding the layout amenities across different elevation paths. Cultural resources currently aren't depicted on this map, but they have been previously noted in other studies. And about, as you see here, the white spaces, that's about half of the site that is suitable for development. Next slide, please. So in presenting today, what we'd like to ask is for some help spreading the word on these park developments. We've had a few public engagement events. There's a more in-depth presentation that really goes into the site's history and some of the potential amenities that could go on into the park. And so we're really asking for some help to spread the word. This is a much needed, large park in the South Bay community. We would love more residents to respond. They can use the QR code. I have lots of links I can email, and also the very end of the slide. Just asking for help. We really want the neighborhood, the whole of South Bay, to be able to respond, and we want this park to reflect the needs of that community. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, we built two web pages for each park project, and then the hub where you can find all the park projects. But this is a little snippet of the engagement HQ page. It's going to have the project team, including Annette and I. We also have an environmental planner, a regional park manager on there. You got the estimated timeline of the project up here, and then of course the survey is right at the top. And all the presentations and public outreach we've done thus far is going to be located on this page as well. There's also a really fun virtual park designer map. You can kind of drop some pins. I want to see a playground here. I want to see some nature trails here. You're able to interact pretty nicely with individually on this page. Next slide, please. Right, a little bit about our second project. So we're also working on developing a 2.5-acre staging area for the East Trail system. This will include designated parking for hikers, bikers, and equestrians to improve access and trail connections from Third Road to Interstate 805. Several existing and forthcoming easements within the project area are owned by the county and the city of Chula Vista and the city of San Diego, enabling a complete trail loop system. So the system will ultimately connect to existing trails west of the Interstate 805 and extend east of the proposed staging area. Next slide, please. So what you see here is a quick site analysis of the OBRP segment between 805 to the west and Heritage Road. Sorry, 805 to the east, the west and Heritage Road. So what you're going to see here is some significant noise pollution that originates from 805 Main Street Heritage Road and North Island Credit Union, as well as the Sesame Place Main Park. Orange lines mark steep sections of the trail system requiring grading protection. Green lines also highlight needed improved trail definition. We've also identified trail junctions needing a clarity project. You can see that noted on the map. Noise pollution is also going to be noted coming from Heritage Road. That's indicated in yellow dashed lines in this graphic. There's also blocked views to the river valley by vegetation, shown in green arrows. The river floodway line is also delineated, and there may be a need to screen the views from the North Island credit union. Amphitheater is set to be placed theme park in the housing developments, but there is opportunity for potential stormwater treatment basin marked in the blue dashed oval. And the existing chain link gate and electrical transformer locations are shown in the blue, in a solid blue and yellow circles. There's also really great viewpoints you want to take advantage of. You can see that in the yellow circle with the arrows pointing out. There's also steep slopes noted on this graphic as well. Next slide, please. So again, we've done a few public outreach events for this, where we have an extensive, more in-depth presentation that's also available online. We have another survey really asking, again, the public what kind of amenities they want to see on the trail, more specifically in the stadium area. You know, what kind of user groups is this going to serve, ideally bikers, hikers, and equestrians. But we really want to see that data by having a community answer this survey. So again, we asked for something.
Has the funding been already allocated for the cost?
So funding is allocated for both projects up to design. Construction hasn't been funded just yet.
Suggestion, there are several large HOAs around that area. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could approach them so that they can participate in the survey.
Yes, yeah, we are contacting them to let them know that we have support coming, this is nearby, so that they're not surprised.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm familiar with OVRP, and until I was recently turned out, I was chairman of the Citizens Advisory Committee. The concrete plant north of the nursery, is that staying or is that going?
That's staying. That is, what's your name?
It's on your map.
Oh, Hanson
Aggregates.
That's
a
private industrial plant.
Okay, so that's remaining. And then the nursery, when they move out, they have to restore the land to pristine condition or something?
Correct, yeah. Anything that isn't going to be developed into the active or passive recreation will be restored to its original valley habitat.
And then the Heritage Road staging area. Are you going to do this work? Hey, the bridge is supposed to be rebuilt. Are you going to do this work before or after the bridge?
It'll be after. Yeah. So that's why the heritage bridge on that traffic is kind of an existing condition in our analysis. It'll already be built by the time we fix up that heritage station.
And as you know, between 805 and Heritage, there's a significant homeless population down in there. There's going to be plans to do something. To offer them someplace else to go? Or
That's a really good question for our regional manager, Charles, and his information is on the QR code on the webpage. But there are talks, you know, we're thinking about having a volunteer pad there, so there is someone on the heritage staging area site most of the time, and then with it being a multi-jurisdictional effort, you know, there's, I think, dialogue that can happen between the cities and the county of who's going to be kind of maintaining and on those trails. More, sorry, there'll be more eyes, you know, as we activate the space, there'll be a little more eyes on the street, if you can say.
Do you know when the bridge is supposed to be rebuilt?
I don't.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next order of business is item number four, the agenda, which is public comments. As you may know, any person may address the commission. However, by state law, the commission is generally prohibited from discussing or taking actions on any of the matters that are brought in front of it by public comments. We do have a request to speak, and that would be Mr. Robert Johnson. Mr. Johnson, you're on.
Board and staff and members of the public. It's good to see that there's some people here. Over the past months, we've had a hard time just making sure that this is like a calendar report for people to see you on the calendar so they can show up. Legality, left, right, I'm kind of here just to make things right. I don't care about suing, I don't care about that. I'm here to help staff and at the same time help you guys know. So I made a public comment on Tuesday's city council meeting. Noticed that this meeting still wasn't put on the calendar. It was put on that night, maybe the next day. I'm not sure exactly what, but either way, it wasn't. Like, this is a regular meeting. This isn't a special meeting that needs 24-hour notice and we just popped it up. This is the regular meeting. It should be 2 weeks before. I mean, if not just at the beginning of the year, blanket statement, everyone that's a regular meeting, and then give the reason to the public why it was canceled or changed or whatever. That's from my audit work. Trying to move past it to do other things. You guys did a great job putting it on the board or at the location and, you know, following the other stuff, because I am checking certain people on that, and the police department failed that one, right? So, They're willing to work with me to fix it. They want it, Not saying you're not, I'm just saying, they know they messed up, they have to correct those things. Side note from all the audit stuff, because I do appreciate what you guys do in showing up, and we had a lot of cancellations of meetings this month in the beginning, so I'm glad to see you guys here handling business. Sweetwater Authority is in contact with those same people because they're doing parks around there that link up to these trails, I think. And they have these community workshops. There's one on the 25th, so I believe next week. Another way for the public to get their input on all these trails and different parks. And I encourage, they kind of left early, so I can't tell them, but I encourage any member of any business or the public to put out a notice to the city so they can put it on the calendar, and then even more people can know about your event. Like I said, it's not always bad news stuff. I'm trying to point out some good stuff too. I appreciate you guys handling business. When I have another public comment, I look at the parks and I just hope that you guys understand that these valleys and different, right at Brown Field is where the government brings in the people who cross illegally. So there's a lot of areas around these that are being utilized for what I would consider illegal purposes. And I just like to tell you guys, in case you didn't know, what was right behind Brown Field, which is might be by one of those parks that they're trying to open. And, it's kind of a concern, but that's just me.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Next order of business is item 5.1, which is approval of minutes. The minutes are in your packet. Hopefully you'll have a chance to read it. And at this time, I'll ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the May 20th, 2024 meeting. Motion approved. There's a motion to approve. Is there a second to the motion?
For the record, Gregorio made the motion.
No.
Oh, sorry. Zaram?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Gregorio?
Mr. Gregorio second. Commissioner Gregorio second the motion. Any discussion? Those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next order of business is item 5.2, recommendation to approve the park master plan for a 5.5 acre neighborhood park, Northside Grand Village 8, west of West End. The name of the park is Bellani Park. And we have a presentation. Is it pronounced Hans Schumacher?
Hans Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Yes.
That was going to be my second. You have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners and guests. My name is Laura Hans Schumacher, and I'm a landscape architect with DSD, the Development Services Department. And we are very pleased to be here tonight to present the Village 8 West Neighborhood Park, and also the name Bayani. So the Bayani means hero, and it's in celebration of the Filipino-American veterans, that some of whom are here tonight, and the contributions that they've made to the Chula Vista community. This is a 5.5-acre park. It's one of two neighborhood parks in Village 8 West. It follows the recently constructed Central Square Park, which has been very popular. And I will hand it off to Mike Spohr, who's here with Estrada Land Planning. He is the landscape architect on the project, and he'll walk you through the master plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. My name is Mike Spohr. I'm a landscape architect with Estrada Land Planning, for landscape architects here in San Diego. And for your consideration, I'd like to present the Filipino American Veterans Park, Bayani Park. And as Laura said, Bayani is a Tagalog for hero, or one who sacrifices for the community, for the nation. And so this park is dedicated to the brave Filipino and Filipino Americans, the infant who sacrificed for the United States. This park is in Otay Ranch Village 8 West, which is adjacent to Olympian High School. It is east of the 805, west of 125, and south of Olympian Parkway. Next slide. This is the Village 8 West land use map, and as you can see, in the pink is the town center, and Central Square Park is in the middle there. Future Community Park is up in the northwest corner. High School, and the highlighted area is the area that we're discussing. Bayani Park is the green area there. To the south is Cal West Development. It's attached homes. And on the west side of Avenue Caprice is more family housing. To the north is was going to be a school, primary school site, but it's apparently the district. Not needed now, so it's a future development. And then to the direct north across Lydia is the Clear Bear Swim Club and the Children's Paradise preschool. So Clear Bear, next slide please. The Clear Bear community is designed as an active community. It's a walkable mixed-use village with retail and parks, and it's a well-being set for the town for all aspects of life. And the park allows residents and the general public to enjoy great outdoors and benefit from daily exercise. The Bayani Park provides an ideal environment for this kind of lifestyle. Next slide, please. This is the site plan of Filipino American Veterans Bayani Park. Lovey Parkway is on the north, Avenue is on the west. The very northwest corner will be part of Pain Monument. Below that, old basketball court was lighted. Just to the east of that, there are six pickleball courts that are lighted. Below the basketball is DG bocce ball courts. To the south of that is the Edgecombe Station. And then that bright and colored area there, that is a top lot, a multi-age top lot. There's a parking lot for 16 vehicles plus two handicap stalls. And there's also 13 shared stalls out on the street for the parking. Just to the southeast of the parking lot right here, that's the site for the Filipino American Veterans Monument. And we'll get into a little more detail later. The large field quiet, non-programmed field, approximately 2 acres, which means there won't be competitions or anything there. It'll be open for the general public. And it can be anything from individual pickup games to practice for teams, but it will not be programmed, so it's kind of first come, first served. There are a number of picnic tables and benches around the site. And Cal West will have a, right here, Cal West, there's going to be a direct connection to the Cal West site that is a gated community. So they're building the fence along that portion of the park, and they'll have a gate there for residents to have access to their community. So there are a number of activities that will be available in the park for passive and light activities. There will be picnicking. There's concrete on-site paths that will connect to. There's a concrete community paths on both La Nidia and on the Evia Caprice. And the Evia Caprice will connect down to the Okai Park. There's a multi-age shot lot, bocce ball, benches around the site for enjoyment. And we have a lot of holiday events within the landscape of Cal Alta. Next slide, please. Then for active recreation, 6 pickleball courts, they're lighted. There's a planned area for a group of individual exercising, basketball, non-program sports as we discussed. Next slide. So these are some of the basic amenities. We're looking at a prefabricated station we may build on site, and we'll see what works out the best for us. We have standard and accessible tables, benches with back to be throughout the park. Within the courts, there will be back benches. Three bike rack locations, one near the pickleball, one near the bocce and basketball courts, and one of the bike rack, station. Each location will hold about 4 bikes, so we can control 12 bikes coming in. The trash receptacles, the accent paving is going to be pavers, different colors and textures. We'll have an ADA drinking fountain with a bottle filler at the courts, and we'll have one with a pet control other computer station. Obviously, a number of petway stations throughout the park, and then chain link fencing that we'll be using for both the courts, divided the courts, and also we're going to have a 4-foot high chain link fence along the back of the community walk on the north side to keep air and balls and children from being down to one meeting. So, kind of help keep that area a little bit safe. Next slide, please. So, this is an enlargement of the hospital. And so, for the 5-12 rules, we're using a compound play structure, which is a lot of fun because you can actually use this, the play structure itself to climb on. And then we have for the toddlers and 5-year-olds, we have their own system of shade, and each group will have their own swing. Next slide, please. This is the margin of the Filipino American Veterans Monument. It will be a plaza of different pavers, dance pavers, and there are 63 wall pieces here that are curved, and it will be cast in place on concrete, and the graphics will be etched into the wall and will be in, not if you can see the Tony Whitman part, but it's a similar that there will be 2 3-foot tall flagpoles that you use during ceremonies and services. And there is a large event on just to the side, so if they have community gatherings and things, there's a spillover space. Next slide. This is the community entry monument in the corner of La Media and the Crease, and curved pole in the etched. Next slide. taller, more narrow, dense trees help with the screening here. And then we have a number of small accent trees. A lot of the shrubs and ground covers are very drought tolerant, a number of natives, and a number of pollinator plants as well. That's cool. This is a lighting plan. It shows the green dots are the walkway and pathway lights. All the walkways will be lit to half-foot candle standard park levels. The port lights are in the red boxes. The walls will have wall wash lights on them. And then the yellow rectangles are the field lights. And something that should be noted with the lights is that it's not going to be competition of the lighting. It's not going to be like the high school with the bright lights. It's definitely going to be toned down. Give kind of a light wash in the area so it's still usable, but it's not nearly so bright. So this is an image there of the pathway lights, and then the next one up is the court lights, and then the upper is fuel lights. Next slide. This just a gradient range plan. Something the site already kind of drains down this way. There's a temporary detention basin. That's where the tie is going to be. Next slide. And this is the utility command to start to use assumption of water coming off the way you get, and that would be the sewers going to increase. So thank you very much for your attention. Very good question.
Commissioner, any questions?
I have one. Just an apologies if I know you went over it. Just the shade, the amount of shade, because I see lots of circles. Just wanted in the kids' play area on the graphic. And again, apologies just because I'm looking at the circles, and I know it's small here. These trees that are going to be around there, there's going to be ample shade in that space as well.
There's going to be shade trees, and then the 2 to 5 year old structure
has the actual coverage. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. The pickleball, how close is it to housing?
The housing.
Because I'm reading all these stories about pickleball noise.
It is noisy. It's funny because Cal West people were once pushing the pickleball, but they were asking to be pushed north, and then it was shaved across the Caprice. Was saying that we want a screen, so yeah, no one wants to pick a ball next to me. But we're probably at least what 200 feet from the nearest home. I mean, it's all the way across the crease, and the courts are at least 200 feet from the street.
They're situated inside the basketball court. It's more towards the residential.
Yeah.
So across the street is a swim club, and the traffic. My name is Don Ross. I work. And the median parkway, there'll be plenty of noise coming down the street. So I think it's far enough. We tried to move it as far away from residences as we could. Without really sacrificing the open turf.
Right, so you took it into consideration.
Yeah.
The open turf, we were trying to keep the open turf area, the open play area. If we kind of limited that space, so we shifted it as far in and away from residences.
So you have the priest, you have the basketball court, and you have pickleball. Plus the basketball court and the pickleball court are about 67 feet below the intersection level of La Media and Caprice, the two streets are going like this. So there's a little bit of hillside here, which may help.
And I think you're also including some trees to
buffer the side. Yeah, there's a number of trees along that edge as well.
And the lighting, you're pretty close to Kai Valley Regional Park, which has a lot of nocturnal birds, so are you taking that into account, that to disrupt the birds, the migration, the lighting is too bright?
Yeah, we're trying to take into account residents and animals. I think the problem we're trying to is help mitigate the acute shortage of lighting in the city. And so, I mean, that right now, those lights are in the plan. And they are LEDs, they're 80, and they're shielded. But, yeah, there's still going to be spillover.
And also looking at those light structures, they look like they're full cutoff LED lights, as I believe is a term, where it just shoots straight down or have a specific direction where there's no light trespass beyond the park space.
Just for reference, there's two neighborhoods between the river valley and the park itself. There is the, Cal West, which is the 80 qualified 55 neighborhood, and then there's another single family residential just south of it. And then you go down towards the river valley, where the park is going to be another park in the river valley eventually. So.
Yeah, I've been riding my bike in this area recently. There's a lot of buildings. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a couple questions, yes. Are there any gazebos at this park?
There are no gazebos at this park.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Gazebos. Are there any gazebos? Yeah. None at this park. And then you mentioned with the field, it being a non-programmed field, but then you mentioned available for team practices and stuff?
Yeah, but it's kind of a first come, first serve. So if a team needs an area to practice for a couple hours, they can meet there.
Okay.
There will be no game schedule. There's no scheduled activities. So it's kind of a first come, first serve. And you'll probably have multiple groups out in this area doing different things at the same time.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah. So with it being HOA maintained and all that, so are they going to also keep track of who's on the field? Who's playing on the field?
Probably not, to be honest with you. This is one of the parks that's HOA owned and HOA maintained. So the HOAs don't really have the staffing to be able to staff the program, so that's why this is an open turf area.
Got it.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Will there be any doggy bag disposal?
Yes.
I don't know if I missed that.
Yeah, we got images of that.
Yeah,
there are
enough of those. Yeah.
It is not too far from the Park, which is Park Central Square. I think probably like a half mile, so there's a dog park just north of it. That's another park.
Central Square is where they have the coffee.
Yes.
And they do have a dog park.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And that park's been a great use. So like if anyone hasn't been there yet,
So one more question. So I'm a little confused about, so the HOA doesn't maintain. Is the city going to be involved with any, like, park rangers or anything like that?
No. Not that we're aware of.
Yeah.
Okay. We're learning. Central Square Park is our first foray as a developer into maintaining a park. We understand how challenging it is.
Okay.
So I don't think right now there's a plan, but I know that it's a lot to oversee your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just curious. Things came up.
If I can add a little bit more information about that, the city would have an opportunity to have city events, just 12 in a year. So, but it's supposed to be entirely mutually maintained. And with the public access over it. But according to the parks agreement, the city would be able to have city-sponsored events, I believe 12 events a year, and that would be through the HOA. So essentially, they would be the ones managing and any event. But if the city desires to use this park, they would have to coordinate with the HOA and have an event there.
Any other questions? I have a couple of questions. Some of them have already been touched upon, but I want to follow up on the discussion about the city access to the park. And I read the agreement, and you're absolutely correct. But that area is going to be mixed housing. You're going to have condominiums. You're going to have detached homes and a lot of children. And I have been president of two very large HOAs here in the South Bay. And I'm concerned that if the HOA has responsibility, as indicated by the agreement, that there might be some teams from that area that would need steady access to the fields for soccer practice, flag football, etc. And it's not amenable to them to be able to first come, first serve. We have to know that I'm going to be able to practice every Tuesday at such and such a time. And as I said, having worked with two very large HOAs, they just don't have the bandwidth to be doing all those things. So I know that Sean was asking because that those would be nice fields for teams to practice on. I don't expect an answer, but it's just a concern and maybe we can address it before it happens. The other question that I have has to do with financing. The park is going to cost $6.3 million. There's not going to be any cost to the city. Good to know. Just out of curiosity, is it being financed through Malibu's taxes?
No.
No? And the money is there from the film.
If I can explain a little bit more about that. So there is a parkland obligation based on the number of units that that correct development has. So that is the development obligation from them. But Miller Roots would be a CFD, like a tax to homeowners. This is not funded through the CFD infrastructure and is not funded through the CFD maintenance as either. So it's just an obligation that Orbit has. But you can speak more about how that's been financed if you want, but it's not through CFD.
It's not through CFD. It's being financed through Orbit.
As long as there is no guarantee from the city, a side agreement that the city is a co-sign to the 6.3 million. That's good to know. Then there's an ongoing cost of $116,000 for maintenance. It's an agreement, but there is no escalator cost in there that we manage for the HOA. In the event that the HOA runs into trouble, what many HOAs do when they decide to cut back, what is the mechanism to prevent the park from becoming an eyesore?
I can tell you the residents we have in the port, the local code of era, association residents, it's their neighborhood park, so that is funded to the homeowners association.
The other question that I have has to do with water consumption. So I know it's a lot of green, which is great. I heard about drought-tolerant plants, but there's also a lot of grass. And there's a potential soccer field. The soccer field, is that going to be grass or is that going to be artificial turf?
There's no artificial turf. It's all grass. It's irrigated with recycled water.
Correct, correct. Again, the associations that I've worked with, it's recycled water, but it's the largest single item for the association. At the Rolling Hills, which is 75 acres, about 6,000 and change homes. The water bill is almost $300,000 a year, which is a significant amount for the homeowner. So they're always complaining if you raise the fee, a couple of dollars. And we thought about taking some of the sales and making Xeriscape, but again, that's expensive. But since the park hasn't been built yet, is Xeriscape a consideration for some of the green areas that might not be part of the park?
It's definitely a consideration. And like I said, we're definitely will be using drought tolerant natives. That's kind of the whole lot of things with the parks. One, you have the turf to play in, then the basketball courts really use open areas, so you have grass around basketball courts, and it also creates passive use areas too for people to sit in the shade. So I think we kept the turf pretty much down to functional areas. We don't have these small strips of turf. And it will definitely look at using Xeriscape, maybe some gravel type ground covers in some areas instead of fully irrigated. So it's definitely something we look at.
Thank you. And then the comfort stations. Are the comfort stations waterless?
No.
So that'd be plumbed.
Okay.
And I have any other questions?
That's
it. Thank you. Any other questions? No. All right. So I think at this time we need to have a motion.
Motion approved.
Motion to approve.
For the record, Gregorio made the motion.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. For the record, Padilla made a second.
All right. Any further discussion? I'll call for the question. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
So let's see, where we are. So we've approved that, 5.2, 5.3, selection of commission. So right, we're there. I've only had three meetings. All right, so we have to select a chair and a vice chair for fiscal year 24-25. Fiscal year started already, correct? Starts in July. Yes. So if there is no opposition, I would not mind at all continuing to be the chair. If somebody wants to nominate me, not I'll nominate myself.
Nominate you.
And then we need a vice chair. Any
volunteers? I'll volunteer.
All right. So we have Ms. Padilla. Anybody else wants to go there? You've done it already.
I'm on my last term here.
Okay. So those in favor of the nominees, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Who made the motion?
I made the first motion.
And the second?
Oh, that's right. We haven't actually officially. I'll make the motion have Ms. Padilla as a co-chair. Who would second the motion?
Vice chair.
The vice chair, right?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we're all ready because we're already voted. All right. Motion carries. Item number six, which is staff comments.
So with staff comments, you guys have a number of flyers in front of you.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Right. I didn't know we were taking shade on it.
All right, staff.
So, not yet. First, I wanted to introduce or invite you guys to celebrate National Parks and Rec Day. That'll be this Saturday, July 20th at 2 p.m. You guys should have a couple of these flyers here. We'll be at Memorial Park, family games, arts and crafts, food vendors, and free swim lessons. So that's always a good draw to this event. This event's going to run 2 to 5 p.m. and then at 5 p.m. we're going to start our Music in the Park series. We have a band out there called Platinum Vibe Band.
Thank you.
Top 40 R&B, funk. Sean's favorite music. So if you want to join us out there, we'll be out there at 2 o'clock to start with the event, and then 5 o'clock for the Music in the Park series starting off.
Same weekend as San Diego Pride. You guys are
It's competing. We want to compete, see what we can do.
And Bayfest.
That's right.
That's true.
We're bringing them all here.
That's true.
So even if you guys can't make it because of other reasons, if you have somebody who you want to share this with who might be able to make it, please do. The second event is our Chula Vista Champions Run. This is Saturday, September 4th at 8 a.m., but by the time we meet again, this will probably be right around the corner. Again, if you haven't been there before, we have food vendors, it's a 5K, there's kids games, expos, we have super opportunity drawings and a lot of different things to give away to the public. Right now, July 1 through July 31st is the early bird registration. Everybody is $15. That's age 17 and up, and 4 to 16. Children under 3, always free. Doesn't matter what time it's going to be. So, again, another one. I'm not sure what else is happening September 14th, but if I can book you guys in to show up right now, that would be great. And, again, if not, spread the word about our Champions Run. That's going to be at the Chula Vista Elite Athletes Training Center, if I didn't already mention that. Any questions on these?
Yeah, unfortunately this year there's not going to be a beer garden.
Yes, unfortunately.
No beer garden.
For some.
But if any of you know anybody that has a business, there's an opportunity to sponsor. And this year, I didn't bring any of the sponsor forms. This is also being supported by the Friends of Chula Vista Parks and Recreation. And sponsorships, I think they run anywhere from $500 to $5,000. And I think the ones that that are in the upper range to get to put their name on one of the parks?
Yes, there's some tiers, and we can send out, I believe Elizabeth went over and met with you guys yesterday, but we can send out you guys the tiers of the actual sponsorship levels and what comes with them. So a $500 level versus a $5,000 donation sponsorship. We'll spell out exactly what the organization or the individual who donates, what they're going to get. So we definitely would appreciate you bringing that up, Mr. Calvo. Appreciate any sponsorships you guys are able to get. If you lobby some of the places that you frequent and they would like to give for this event, please let us know.
All right. What else?
Okay, all right, put some flyers in front of you guys as well. So first of all, we've already talked about movies in the park, probably last meeting, but this is ongoing. Next one's coming up on July 26th. We're showing Elemental, and that'll be at Roar Park. We'll have games going, starting at about 6:30. Movie starts at dusk. Okay, next things are a couple items we have here at Norman Park. Next Tuesday, we have Summer Grandparents Day. It's not an official day nationwide or anything. It's something we made up, but our grandparents deserve it.
That's true.
All the grandparents, they come in, and it's $5 a person. All the grandkids are free. We're going to have a bunch of games set up for them. We're cooking hot dogs. We're going to have arts and crafts. It's going to be a good day. We plan on probably having about 50 to 80 people out here in the park. And lastly, as you can hear, usually when we're here, we're closed. You can hear pickleball in the background. We have our pickleball after hours. We started that Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 8 here. We charge $15 per person. It's for a month. We're now taking registration for August. And we cap it so it's not going to be overcrowded for people. And that is sponsored by the San Diego Seniors Community Foundation. It pays for the staff to be here. And so it's been a really good thing so far. Our first month we had 30 people, and that was our cap. So it's good. It's good. We've got really good things to talk about. That's all I have. Yeah, question.
How long do they sign up for the cap? There's 30 people per month?
Per month. Yeah.
And is there rotating basis?
So yeah, starting the 15th of the next month, you can start registering for, okay. Like August has already started up.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, who will speak about the Eucalyptus and Harbor Science Park?
I was going to invite Linda Schumacher.
Yes.
All right. You have the floor.
The last time I was here, we gave you a quote. The last time I was here, we gave an update on Eucalyptus Park. It was on hold as we added some of the existing improvements. And we're back on track. We are scheduled to wrap up construction documents within the next couple months. And we are on track to start construction, hopefully, by the beginning of next year. The park will be closed for about a year and hopefully open by summer of 2026. All right, so I'll give you a very short summary of what's going on with Betty Davis Park. So Betty Davis Park, we also have a grant that to improve to convert a street. I don't know if you're familiar with Betty Davis Park, but it's at the end of this street west of Woodlawn. And it's underutilized. It's south of the development called Vista Bar. And with that grant, we have been able to develop a master plan that was approved a while ago. And we have been working with Eagle Solar to develop the construction documents to implement the site. Unfortunately, the landscape architecture firm that was working on the construction documents went out of business. So now we have a incomplete construction document that we are going to continue working towards development. So the next step right now is we're meeting with the attorney's office to find out what we need to do to engage and hire and enter into a contract with another landscape
with architecture firm to complete the CDs so that we can continue the construction or at least start the construction of the park. We don't think that that's going to affect the grant because the grant, we already have enough time to complete the construction documents and start construction. So yes, it is delaying our timeline, that we had stipulated, but it's not really going to affect getting the grant from the state or getting any funding from the state, which is really good news. So we feel confident that we will continue to working with the attorney's office to enter into a contract with another landscape architect for completing the construction documents and then start construction. So we anticipate that that park may be finalized by 2026, maybe summer of 2026. And then regarding Harborside Park, I don't have that much information about it. This is something that Public Works has been managing, but I can tell you that Public Works is very active in cleaning it up, and I believe that you may have more information than I do, but cleaning it up, placing the fence, reviving the existing amenities like the
summer 2020 field.
They're going to leave the skateboard mini park and the basketball courts are going to be refurbished and updated. And also, recently, I believe that there is a donation to have a mini soccer field
right. That
is going to be movable. So in the future, in the area, that would be in the area where the gazebo is right now, so or used to be. So then with this US, like a soccer field, mini soccer field, that could be removed later, could be moved to another facility where it can be utilized, so it's not going to be a loss. But the idea is that right now we can start with the phase one of the park, which is updating the existing amenities, adding this mini soccer field. And then in the future, when we have more funding for it, then we are looking into that recreation center that I think it would be ideal to have where facing the street where the shelter is right.
Right, and the soccer field she's talking about is referred to as a mini pitch donated by USA Soccer. It's a hardscape, so it needs limited maintenance to it. So it's more like arena soccer, but it's all hardscape. Generally, a lot of cities find traffic on those after 5 p.m., especially after school hours or in critical hours of service. But the purpose of that park and building on what she was saying is that it's going to be active recreation, and what we know through studies through like the USDA is when you activate park spaces, your crime decreases by 17%. But beyond that, the park's design through, and talking with Matt Little, our Public Works Director, is they've created where they've used a foundation of SEPTED or crime prevention through environmental design. So they have natural surveillance, so seen straight through the park for police or anybody walking around. There's no blind spots, no hiding spots, no ambush points where they can see from the front to the end of the park with proper park lighting and park cameras. Park rangers, the intent is also have park rangers based out of that location. So there's also that intentional perception of safety with the park rangers there.
Yeah. Thank you. So we're on target for September, opening of the park?
They're saying early fall.
Early fall.
Early fall.
It's been on the news a lot. With the mini pitch details and everything, are they getting that information from Public Works?
That information is coming directly out of the city manager's office with the mini pitch. That contract was signed.
Because they talked about the basketball courts and the mini pitch and the skateboard and all that. And they had a lot of detail in the park, which I was unaware of. So right. I was just wondering where they got that from.
That actually came out of the last council meeting on Tuesday night where the mini pitch was discussed with the USA Soccer and the donation through USA Soccer.
We discussed it here to the commission.
Oh, I'm sorry?
They presented
at that last meeting.
Go ahead.
Last meeting, there was a presentation on that. Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned on the Patty Davis Park
Yes. That
the original contractor for the development work or the design work went out of business.
Yes.
Did the city lose any money?
No, absolutely not. So, as I said previously, so this is funded through a grant. So, we had allocated a certain amount of money for the design. So right now we were only going through the design phase. We hadn't started the construction of the park. So what's going to happen is that with the construction document documents that they developed up to date, which is about, we're thinking it's about 65% completion. So we would, we're hoping that we're going to be able to use that, and another landscape architecture firm would be able to take those construction documents and complete them to 100% so that we can go out to bid.
Okay, so the contractor did some work, and were they paying for that work that they did?
Yes.
And in the event that the city can't use those drawings and we have to start, the city has to start over again, is any recourse for the city to go after those monies? Which is very difficult if they're already in bankruptcy.
Right. That's why we are talking to the attorney's office, and we're waiting to hear the recommendation.
I know that the city usually hires the lowest bidder. Sometimes that's what happens when you hire the lowest bidder. But as part of the due diligence, just for my information, do you look into the background, the financial background of these companies to make sure that they're going to be able to fulfill their contract and they're going to be around to, once the contract is finished, if there's a punch list that's a mile long, that they can go back and fix those things?
Yes, absolutely. In this case, like I said, it's a design. It's not construction. You're talking about bids, you're talking about a contractor, and that's separate. So definitely when we enter into a contract with a contractor for the construction of a park, they have to have bonds, they have to, we ask for performance bonds, insurance, all that. For the design, it's slightly different. Design is more like a professional services. So the contracts are slightly different. We usually look into, obviously, the landscape architecture firms that we normally work with have been in business for years. We know this particular firm has been in business, had been in business for years, and it was really shocking that they went out of business. But in fact, they did lots of projects here at the city of Chula Vista. So to answer your question, it's one of those things that, yes, we look into the financial stability of the firms, but up to a certain point, I mean, there are certain times where it's unexpected and surprising. Yeah, it happens. That's why we ask for bonds. And
all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I have one about you, Corruptus. Somebody contacted me, they were looking for the current plan, and I found something on the city's website, but it looks a little dated. Do we have an updated one to post it?
So there were two park master plans that were approved. That might be the June 23 park master plan.
Yeah.
So that plan shows all of the new park amenities that are being funded by the state grant. Mm-hmm. And then in December of last year, we had another master plan that added the existing park improvements that weren't being touched by the grant. So those are being funded through ARPA, and there's two master plans that are now consolidated. So we can work on getting that posted on the website.
Cool.
And I wanted to add one update on Eucalyptus. There's also the Casa Casillas, which is the community art center. That's located at the southeastern corner of the park. That's being funded by the grant, and that one is on a different construction schedule, so it will open later this fall, which is exciting. Any other questions? All right, Keith.
Thank you very much. Vacant positions?
Currently, today and tomorrow, we are interviewing for management analyst 2 vacant position, and we are accepting applications for the vacant assistant director of Parks and Recreation position. We have our aquatic supervisor 3 position that is open. It has not been open to recruitment because the classification actually was rewritten before I got here, so it has to go before the union to be approved prior to the recruitment of that. And then we do have a vacant position of admin secretary that has not been open for recruitment yet. We're waiting to fill a couple other positions before that comes up. I do want to also, for staff comment, make the commission aware. I do sit on the Prevent Drowning Foundation Board of San Diego, and they recently just acquired $250,000 from San Diego Foundation to continue with Learner Swim Grants. And I have a meeting on Monday with the Chula Vista Elementary School District Superintendent, Dr. Reyes, to talk about potentially also applying for that. I know Chula Vista has the Operation Splash Grant, where it's $50,000 for swim lessons to get children to learn how to swim. I want to use or try to help him compete for that money also from the Prevent Drowning Foundation grants, so they can also compete for more schools to be get kids to learn how to swim. Drowning is the leading cause of preventable death for ages under 14, and it is the leading cause of death for youth ages 1 to 4. So we see this as a public safety campaign also.
Thank you. I'm sure that Jill will be happy when the admin position is finished, because she's wearing two hats, right? I have a question on the management analyst. What does a management analyst do? I should have asked this question while we were discussing the budget.
It's different with every department. So when I met with the interview panel this morning, I said their primary target working with me is I want them to manage, like, not necessarily be the project manager for all the grants, but also, but more or less have the master sheet for all the grants that we have. These grants are Prop 68 grant that we may have, CDBG funding that we may have, like here at Norman Park Senior Center, to any other types from California Natural Resources Agency, to any federal grants, just to make sure that we have one person that we can always turn to going, okay, where are we at with the grant? They will also serve as the fiscal or budgetary agent working with me with the department. Also, there's going to be more administrative functions that are higher level that a fiscal technician will handle. So creating an operations manual for the department, but also start working towards the 154 national standards for accreditation. So they'll be tasked with quite a bit working with me.
Is this an in-house position or is this a virtual position?
It would be in...
In-house,
yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commissioners? So moving right along, and in the interest of time, I have no comments. That's a lot of questions already. So we'll move to number 8, commissioners' comments. Who wants to go first? Ashley?
I don't think I have any comments.
Nothing further from me.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned music earlier, and I brought up that El Cajon, how they have a concert and dinner and a concert in the park where they bring trucks in and they have concerts. Well, I was at a Beatles tribute band concert at Humphreys, and I ran into Mayor McCann, and we talked about that. El Cajon has that and we don't, so don't be surprised if he asks you about
it. I'll be ready.
I brought it up before, so you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
That's all I have.
All right, anybody else? Commissioner Gorio?
No. Yep.
Okay. So that'll be it for this meeting, so we will adjourn the meeting at, I have my computer, the clock went crazy, so it's 7:39. We don't need, and the next meeting is tentatively scheduled for September the 19th at 6:30 p.m. I would imagine it'll be here as well.
Yes.
Hope to see all of you on Saturday at the event.
We'll be there.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much.